It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Bears have fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, today. They are not going to bench Caleb Williams, but apparently they considered it. So my two questions about all of this is, number one, why would you even think about benching Williams as you're falling out of playoff contention? It's time to develop your number one overall pick. But number two, why did they wait until today to do this? The game was Sunday. They made the announcement late Tuesday morning, essentially. Feels like a waste of time. It's not like they have a bye.
To a degree, yeah. I wonder if they had like the deliberation. They're like, let's cool off Sunday night. Monday, we'll all come in and discuss it. And they probably discussed it all day. And then it's, okay, now we're doing it Tuesday. Instead of just going, we got to hurry up.
So I guess that's my point, though, Danny. It was obvious, I think, to anybody who watched that game. Someone's getting fired. It's maybe Eberflus, but that didn't happen because he did his Monday presser. And if it's not Eberflus, then it's got to be Waldron. Now, maybe they could have kept Shane Waldron and just stripped him of his duties, and that was the consideration. Does he want to stay on staff and not call plays? I just think whatever you're doing, you got to do it faster than taking Sunday to now. I mean, we're talking about 48 hours ago.
Agreed. Yeah.
But you only get three times that to prepare for the Packers.
It's
You've wasted 20% of your work week.
It's one of those things where I'm sometimes the impatience of the fan, like last year, for example, I'm sitting there going, and credit to the Harris ownership group, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I've already said that. I'm going, will you please just give me my pound of flesh? We all know Rivera's going to get let go. Just do it. Just jettison this thing into the sun. So just for my own sanity, just make me happy. Give me my pound of flesh. And they never did. So you're trying not to be a reactionary Randy. You're trying not to be the dude in section 410 as you're screaming from the heavens. But sometimes the people that are screaming, who can see it clear as day, are right too. Like this is one of those where you're going, if you're going to do this post game, thank you so much. Keep turning your key card in your Microsoft Surface.
I mean, they've been screaming since week one.
Yeah.
Week two, probably. They got this one right. It's like the people that, you know, think every single time Washington drafts someone, he's going to be a great player. And then, you know, the time that the player is great, that they're right, or vice versa. You know, every time, I'll joke on you a little bit. Every single time the Commanders play a game, and they have a lead, and the other team gets any kind of a break or has
like a first down run for 4 yards.
Danny texts us and goes, "This loss is going to be so painful." And this week, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
The previous four, you weren't. But congratulations, you called your shot. When they were up 10, they lost to the Steelers. But the point of the dude's story is, I think it was pretty clear they had to make a change. It just seems like waiting until today was unnecessary. I know how the work week goes in the NFL. Your first real practice is Wednesday anyway. Monday's the treatment day. So maybe they felt like there wasn't anything really lost in waiting until today. Let's go to Kevin in Centerville. We're taking a look from 10,000 feet up on Washington and Chicago, how they insulated their young quarterbacks, two teams that are going in different directions. What do you make of that?
Boys, happy Tuesday, first of all. I got two thoughts on this. The first is, and this is kind of in the spirit of Veterans Day having happened yesterday. In the military, there's a training expression where you say to embrace the suck. Sometimes there's things that you have to do in order to grow that are not fun. And Washington knows that all too well, that there are times you have to burn it down to the studs and just have a couple of really bad years before you can really try to make progress based on what's going on. Chicago, for many years, was in this pursuit of aggressive mediocrity. They were the most aggressively mediocre team in the NFL, or even in the years that they were down, they didn't lean into the tank the way that they should have in order to try to clean house and get everyone out. Now, of course, Washington, for the longest time, their rebuild didn't work because even though they burned it down to the studs, they were building over a sinkhole when Dan Snyder was here. So Snyder's gone. They rebuild this season, which is great because they did what they needed to do to try to clean house. The Bears do this cyclically where they hang on to either their coach or their offensive coordinator 1 year too long with the quarterback they're developing, refusing to fire them, and they've run into it again this season with the number one pick. The second thing I'll say is, the same way that I'm going to praise Washington, it's the most damning indictment of Chicago's system. when you draft a quarterback that has the type of athletic talent that these two guys have, you cannot try to force them to fit your system. They have to become your system. Washington has done such a good job with that with Jaden Daniels this year, where they've allowed the offense to be structured around his offensive skill set and not try to force a square peg into a round hole.
I think that's a great point.
Fantastic call.
Yeah, really good call. I will disagree with the last point. When I watch the Bears, I see Caleb Williams doing Caleb Williams things. I think for the most part, that offense has been catered to Caleb Williams. The good things he does are some of the good things he did in college. The bad things he does are trying to do the bad things he did in college, and it's just louder and worse and more embarrassing because now it's in the National Football League against better players and better defenses. But I don't think they're asking him to do anything he can't do. My issue with the offense they designed for him and that Waldron was running is there weren't enough layups. They did not do a very good job making things easy for him. The expected completion percentage on Jaden Daniels' passes this season is around 66%. The expected completion percentage on Caleb Williams' passes out of his hand this season, 62%. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is. I mean, if one guy's completing, you know, 62% and the other guy's at 66% just on the layups, basically, that's not anything better than what you should have done out of your hand. That's not you throwing the ball well. Just means Cliff Kingsbury, 4% of the time, gets Daniels an easier answer than Caleb Williams gets from Shane Waldron. That's a big deal.
It's a massive deal. When you start doing it over days and drives and then weeks and then months and then seasons, you end up with a giant gap between the two in terms of ease. So I would need somebody hardcore breaking down every concept and route tree and what each read was to know if it was designed for Caleb Williams' strengths or not. You know, some of it is Williams has certain proclivities. True. Is he also running for his life because the protection failed? Or is he missing? He's supposed to be a 5-step drop and he dropped back 10 steps. Like, I don't know what I don't know here. I do know that when you check him out, the offense doesn't look good. It looks like nobody's open and it looks like he's just sort of got to improvise and hope that something happens.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I think it's too early to say this, and I don't actually think this yet, but it is absolutely possible that Jaden Daniels is just exceptional and Caleb Williams is not.
That's on the table.
It is very possible that despite what we thought pre-draft, despite what everyone ranked these quarterbacks to look like, that Jaden Daniels was actually the guy that if he was in Chicago, Matt Eberflus would be on his way to Coach of the Year. The Bears would be right there with the Lions in the NFC North. And if Caleb Williams was here, Kingsbury would be on the verge of getting fired, and we would think that Dan Quinn made a mistake. Like, that is also very, very possible, is that Caleb Williams just might not be that good. Now, I'm not ready to say that, and I don't actually think that's the case. I need a lot more time.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, like, I liked Drake May a ton. The Jaden Daniels-Caleb Williams debate was always interesting to me, because Daniels is just more prolific and dynamic as a runner and is a great passer. And the Williams style, that Mahomesian style that everyone loves, is not really for me as a prospect. Because it tells me you need to be out of structure. And that has been the problem to me, is when he's in structure, he does not look like he can operate the offense as effectively as he needs to. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Grant? Yeah, I echo a lot of what you just said. And I, because we had so much invested in the upcoming draft, I spent a lot of time looking at these guys. And it was clear that Williams excelled when he was able to go off script. But he had really terrible numbers by comparison in the pocket. And his sack rate was pretty bad compared to Daniels. And I feel like those were just conveniently overlooked because of the popularity, that former Heisman Trophy, and just his sort of Q rating. One thing I will say though, is like, I think the league or team should try to normalize benching players without it being punitive and saying like, hey, you're taking a break from, you're taking a step back to learn the game, learn the offense, and not continue to try to bang your head against the wall, which is what he's doing right now.
So I think that's an interesting point. It's just the perception is different than the reality there. I get what you're saying. It would be great to live in a world where you could bench a guy and it's not a referendum or an indictment that he's never going to be good or that he's a bust or that you don't think he's there right now. I think who you go to is different. Like, I don't feel like Anthony Richardson's done forever in Indianapolis. I've seen Louis Riddick and some analysts to come out, and they're talking about the Colts' decision like they're a bunch of idiots and how dare them and what on earth are they thinking. And I'm a little surprised by that because prior to actually getting the opportunity, Flacco had been really good this year and Richardson had been really bad, and that's a playoff-caliber team. And everyone said he needed to sit, and now they're actually doing the thing where they're letting him sit and learn. This is different than that to me.
Uh-huh.
Number one, Flacco stunk, so they're going to bench him and I'm sure go back to Richardson
right. Anyway.
But this is Tyson Bagent is the option. You're going to another young guy. They're Heinicke. Like, absolutely not. They're folk hero in the fan base. They're Tommy DeVito. That's not the way to go about it in Chicago as far as I'm concerned. And it's hard to go backwards. Like, if you started Williams on the bench and then halfway through the year you go to him and he's struggling, one thing. To start him, see him play poorly, and then bench him, to me, that's a whole different thing.
You're putting an obstacle where there wasn't one before. Yeah. I mean, the adversity is already there. Like, we're already stuck. We're already in a bad spot. I don't know that that makes it better. You're trying to dig your way out, and I don't know that that does that.
The Commanders do not have an OC problem or a quarterback problem. They have a Eagles problem 2 days from now, though, against a banged-up offensive operation. How do we feel about the game? About 48 hours away from being in Philadelphia, broadcasting live. Let's talk about that next on Grant and Danny.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.